Good evening. It is 5 p.m. on Thursday, May 14th, and you're tuned in to CFRC 101.9 FM, broadcasting from Lower Carruthers Hall on Queen's Campus in Kingston, Ontario. I'm CFRC's broadcast journalist, Christina Laurie, and this is Kingston Currents, your weekly roundup of the latest Limestone local news. CFRC's news programming is brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcast, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. Our feature story coming up in today's episode, the Kingston Sentinels are just a few weeks into their first ever season, starting strong with both the men's and women's teams remaining undefeated. The Sentinels represent a comeback in semi-professional soccer for the city after a decade since the Kingston Clippers withdrew from the Ontario Premier League. Paul Barbeau, a leader in the project, and Sentinels players sit down with CFRC to share more about these early days and what's next for the sport in Kingston. Without further delay, let's dive in.
If I wanted to play at the next level, I probably would have had to leave Kingston, which would have been so unfortunate because everything that I love is here.
Kind of was all over because there wasn't really an option in Kingston. But now that there is, there was like no doubt in my mind that I wanted to come and just play for a team where I'm from and represent my city.
For the first time in a decade, Kingston has semi-professional soccer again. This spring, the Kingston Sentinels launched both men's and women's teams in the Ontario Premier League, a level just below Canada's fully professional game. And in just a few weeks, the club's early days have already started to feel like something bigger than a new team. Youth soccer has been steadily growing in Kingston for a long time, currently having over 10,000 registered players and participation growing over 40% between 2013 and 2023. However, for years, local players say there's been one major problem. There was nowhere local to go next. While there are youth programs and university soccer through Queen's University, players say the local pathway ended after that. Jacob Ball and Ian Ferguson, captains for the Sentinels men's team, and Mara Stanistreet with the women's team all grew up playing in Kingston.
There hasn't really been much like in Kingston growing up for me to really look up to in the sense of playing at the highest level. Obviously, there's some collegiate and university options here, but something outside of that more structured professional environment, I think something that the city's lacked.
Having played on almost every team in Kingston before this, there's Kingston United, Kingston Clippers, now Junior Gales, now Atletico Kingston, KBFC, Kingston Belleville Football Club. Yeah, there was never really something like above all those other than just at the youth level.
Yeah, I feel like from a really young age, like I remember we got our OPDL license in Kingston when I was going into U13, and that was like the next big thing kind of for youth soccer in Kingston, and so we were really excited about it. But it didn't look like there was much else after that because we haven't had a League One program in a really, really long time.
And without a local team at that level, players left.
So previously, 2 years ago, I traveled out to BC to play for League One because there was really nothing in this area. And then last year, I played in Toronto with North Mississauga Soccer Club.
The League One or OPL now is kind of like the best environment for like a semi-professional, like looking for players to like play professionally, in my opinion. So when I was after my first year of college, just kind of took the step to go to Toronto, live on my own kind of thing, play for a team there. And same thing again the following year. And then this past summer, I was out in Halifax for a bit. So it kind of was all over because there wasn't really an option in Kingston.
If I wanted to play at the next level, I probably would have had to leave Kingston, which would have been so unfortunate because everything that I love is here.
This has been the case since Kingston's first OPL team, the Kingston Clippers, withdrew from the league following the 2016 season. Now, after 10 years of waiting, local players finally have the option once again to represent their hometown at the OPL level.
Now that Kingston has its own team, can stay home finally, and play for the city and allow to that growth within the city.
There was like no doubt in my mind that I wanted to come and just play for a team where I'm from and represent my city and, you know, carry that pride on my chest when I'm playing every single game, which I never really had the opportunity to before.
And for players like Nicole Doncaster, who moved to Kingston from the East Coast to pursue her master's at Queen's, the absence of that next level in the city could have ended her playing career altogether. But with the launch of the Sentinels, she was able to keep going.
I'm at a point in my life where I graduated from my undergrad in 2024, and I really thought that that was sort of the end of my soccer career. So now that we have this new opportunity in Kingston as well to continue playing and keep going through with playing soccer and doing the things that I love right where I am without having to do some long commutes elsewhere, it's been really a good time.
For Paul Barbeau, CEO of Victory Grounds Ventures, owner and operator of the team, that missing pathway was exactly what the Sentinels were designed to address, filling the critical gap between youth programming and the professional league.
This region, all of SOSA, is underutilized, both in field and turf and the next level in soccer for the players to go to. You know, we have 20 kids, young adults from Kingston that grew up in are now playing back in Kingston. Some went abroad, some went to Europe, and now they're being able to play in Kingston. So Kingston is just right because it is the center of this big growth in soccer that I feel we can tap into.
But bringing semi-professional soccer back to Kingston wasn't a simple task. The Sentinels are part of Victory Grounds Ventures' larger vision to grow the sport in the region, one that originally planned to build infrastructure before launching an OPL team, then later a professional CPL team. After deciding the initially proposed Memorial Center site for the stadium was not the right fit last year, plans changed.
We have flipped it. So, you know, team first, followed by stadium, followed by another team.
Barbeau says the change in plans has been a challenge.
One of the issues we have is part of the funding to support the operations of the team was coming from the stadium and the renting of the facility, and not having to pay rent to the city or Queens or all the other places I'm renting turf from. We have our own facility to do that. So it has increased our costs.
Still, he says the opportunity to bring OPL soccer to Kingston came at the right time.
While the timing may not have been perfect for us on that side of it, it just fit in very well into, you know, allowing us to firm out the business model.
Part of that business model depends on proving Kingston will support soccer at this level. And early signs suggest the city is responding. Even rough weather didn't stop fans from showing up for the home opener.
The opening match was great. We had a great turnout. You know, we had about 700 tickets issued. We had almost 600 people show up. You know, some to the first game, some stayed for both games, some stayed for the last game. So it was a great turnout. And our first men's home game, we had over 300 people come to the game. So, and it was cold and there was ice pellets. So, you know, I think we've got a great, just proves that Kingston is a great community to support the soccer project. And I think that's just going to grow with time as more people learn about it.
Barbeau says the organization is trying to build something that feels bigger than just another local sports team, different from previous models that can last with community support.
We're geared around bums in seats. Our revenue isn't coming from lower levels of youth programs. Our revenue is coming from bums in seats. And so we're looking to be very fan-centered and very fan-focused. You know, we haven't got the chants and the songs up yet that you would usually see in a European club, but we'll get there. And the fans are coming out supporting it and yelling and cheering when the goals get scored. You know, the kids are running around and it's a great environment that we're trying to build. And Kingston's coming out to support that.
And so far, the players are feeling that support.
Oh, I think the support has been actually crazy. Like, it's definitely more than any of us, I think, could have thought. I remember we walked out for our home opener game and my jaw was on the floor.
Yeah.
Like, it is honestly the coolest thing ever to see people like want to be there to support you. Just everybody's excited to have semi-professional soccer in Kingston. And so we've built a pretty good community already.
You know, after the game, last game, I said that, you know, the fans make it feel like we're playing at the 12th player with the energy and like atmosphere that they bring. It's just, we work so much harder when there's people there and we don't want to let them down. We want to get them everything that they paid for and the experience itself. So it's just super motivating as a player.
For many players, becoming examples of what's possible for younger Kingston athletes matters just as much as the games themselves, especially with many current Sentinels players coming up in and staying involved in Kingston's youth soccer community.
Especially like at our games, you see a lot of kids that I coach out and it's honestly amazing. And like to see from that age, when I was that age, I wanted to be in this position. And so to kind of show younger kids that we can do that here at home and not have to leave is really important, I think. I'm hoping that younger kids understand that there is more to soccer than kind of what they've been seeing. I know everybody kind of plays their youth soccer and then they watch the MLS. And that's basically it for them. And I think even with like the newer professional league in Canada and with the Women's Professional League in the States, there's so much more than a lot of girls understand. Even playing overseas, there's so many opportunities that I think we can really bring light to, because we have some great talent on our team, and I'm sure that everybody's going to do amazing things even after they're done with us. So
yeah, and like a competitive career doesn't need to end after university. There's so many more opportunities that you can take on and to continue playing if you want to be at that level too. And it's just so, it feels so good to be able to feel like we're impacting like the next generation coming up as well. And Mara and I are both coaches, so we're lucky enough that people or girls that we're coaching are coming out to see us play, and it just feels like such a gratifying experience to be able to do that.
The hierarchy in Kingston, there wasn't really anything at that top where players like Ian and I growing up here could really strive towards. We'd have to go like elsewhere, and so we just want to make our city proud and give the opportunity to the kids coming up through the age groups like the best opportunity they can to represent our city and also themselves at the highest level possible. And just overall, we want to just make our city really proud and, you know, show the kids that, you know, there is something now to work towards. And even in trainings, we've had some younger kids from different age groups get the opportunity to train the first team. And we really want to just show that togetherness and community where hard work is rewarded and that there are opportunities available for these children, whereas might not have been as possible before. So we just want to show them that, you know, never stop working hard and just be yourself on the field and that good things can come.
Being that role model for the younger kids. At the end of the day, the soccer is not all that matters. It's how we carry ourselves as people, as men, for young boys watching, young girls watching, if they're watching the women's team. It's just being those role models, being able to show them what they can achieve in the Kingston area.
And while the Sentinels are still only weeks into their first season, ambition around the club is already growing quickly. Both teams remain undefeated in these early stages of the year. Inside the locker room, right now, promotion to the next tier in the league is the goal.
It's definitely to get promoted. I think that's first and foremost. I think that's bare minimum for us. When we talk as a team, we don't see any other way of not getting promoted. I think that's in our minds, that's the only way that the season's going to go. I think we have the ability. I think we all know we have the ability as a team. And I think if we stay connected and stay motivated and everyone is on that same path and that has that same goal, I definitely think we can do that.
I think the big goal that our coach has really nailed into us as well is that we would love to be promoted up into the next level as well, which is not the easiest path for us to get up to, but we would love and we feel like we are a team that is better than the league that we are in right now as like a League 3 team, that we can compete at that League 2 level. So to be moving up, I think overall for the whole season, that's one of our really big goals.
Yeah, and honestly, one thing that we talk about all the time is to inspire ourselves and to inspire the others on our team. That's a big one that Coach Chad has kind of drilled into our brains, that if we inspire each other and we stay inspired ourselves, we will do great things this year and we will show people that we can do great things, like Nicole was saying. We are a team that should be competing at the League 2 level, and I think we fully have the ability to get there, but I think the biggest part is to inspire ourselves and the people around us.
And confidence around the team is growing quickly, with ambitions not only of promotion, but of changing how Kingston soccer is viewed across the province.
We've had a good start to the season so far, but even right now, you know, we're not settled for like satisfaction. It's like two wins being at the top of the table. We want to keep on going game by day and really show Ontario and Canada who Kingston is as a soccer club and also as individuals. So just training hard every single day, never satisfied, and working towards, you know, making our city as proud as we can.
There's definitely more to come within the community. I think it's continuing to grow. I don't want it to stop where it is. I always want more and more people coming out to watch the game. So I hope that can happen. Energy's high, vibes are high. So I think so far, so good.
Beyond this season, many around the club are already thinking much bigger, with longer-term goals still including a stadium and eventually a CPL team.
Yeah, so we're still very committed to put a turf field with dome and a stadium in Kingston. We've been working with a landowner for over a year now, and things are moving very well on that front. And we hope to have an announceable shortly, as well as the filled up with a year and a bit.
Right now we're in OPL 3, next it's OPL 2, and then hopefully OPL 1. And then after that, if we can see that community growth within soccer, I think soccer's as a whole within Canada is growing hugely, especially with the World Cup coming to this summer. But if we can really build on that community, soccer community within Kingston, hopefully the next steps is CPL within the city. If we can get that going, that would be amazing. If that community, soccer community, is built within Kingston and we keep getting promoted and possibly that CPL comes, it's kind of a trickle-down effect. It goes into the grassroots programs, the community programs, and it just allows growth within soccer at the youth level to grow at a level we've never seen.
After 10 years without a team at this level, Kingston Soccer has momentum. And for the first time in a long time, players here say they can finally imagine a future in the sport without leaving home. Before we get into more local news, let's take a look at your weather and traffic report for the rest of the week. Starting off with your City of Kingston traffic report, Johnson Street from University to Aberdeen expect delays until July 30th. On Bath Road between Sir John A. Macdonald Boulevard and Portsmouth Avenue, expect delays as crews continue installing intersection pedestrian signals. Over on King Street West from Country Club Drive to Front Road, expect delays as Utilities Kingston work has reduced traffic to one lane in each direction. Watch for lane shifts, reduced speeds, and shared lane signage. At the intersection of Montreal and John Counter Boulevard, construction is ongoing, with delays expected through the rest of this month. Cranbrook Street from Days Road to Lakeview Avenue closes from 8:40 to 9:20 in the morning and 3:20 to 3:50 in the afternoon. As part of the School Streets program, restricting access during school drop-off and pickup times. Wright Crescent remains closed between Palace Road and Kingsland Crescent for roadway repairs and safety improvements. Construction continues on Princess Street from Frontenac to Division as part of a major reconstruction project. And long-term closures remain in place on Aberdeen between Johnson and William and Barrie at Queen. Looking to the skies, tonight we're expecting cloudy conditions and a 60% chance of showers. Temperatures will reach a low of 8. Tomorrow we have a mix of sun and cloud and a 40% chance of showers in the morning. Winds will be coming southwest at 20 kilometers per hour and temperatures may hit up to 20 degrees. It may be a day to wear sunscreen as the UV index will be 7 or high. Friday night brings clear skies and a low of 7 degrees. If you're already making weekend plans, you can expect a mix of sun and cloud on Saturday with a 30% chance of showers and a high of 21. Saturday night, cloudy periods with a low of 12. On Sunday, we'll finally have sunny skies with no rain and a high of 22 degrees. Sunday night, we finish off the week with clear skies and a low of 10. That was your weather and traffic report for the rest of the week. Now back to more local news. Getting back into local updates, the following message comes from the City of Kingston regarding the upcoming Victoria Day long weekend. For many residents, the May long weekend marks the unofficial start of summer, and the city is reminding people about several holiday scheduling impacts along with events planned across the city. Residents should note there will be no garbage or green bin collection on Monday. Collection will instead take place one day later than usual throughout the week. The city says residents can sign up for reminders online through the City of Kingston website or by downloading the Kingston Waste app. The Kingston disposal site on Lappin's Lane will be closed on Monday. Kingston Transit will operate on a Sunday schedule for Victoria Day. However, Route 60 will not operate as the LaSalle Causeway remains open. Express Route 601 and 602 will instead run on a Saturday schedule. Kingston Access Bus Services will operate with limited services on Monday. The trip reservation office will be open from 7:30 in the morning until 11, and riders can call 613-542-2512 for more information. Administrative offices across the city will be closed for the holiday, including housing and social services offices and the official offenses court on Montreal Street. Utilities Kingston and Kingston Hydro will also be closed on Monday. However, customers experiencing emergencies can still contact the 24-hour emergency line at 613-546-1181. The city is also reminding residents that holiday electricity pricing information and long weekend preparation tips are available through Utilities Kingston. Several public facilities will be closed Monday as well, including recreation facilities, all branches of the Kingston Frontenac Public Library, the Kingston Grand Theatre Box Office, the Pump House Museum,
and the Tet Center for Creativity and Learning. Meanwhile, Portsmouth Olympic Harbor and Confederation Basin marinas will remain open through the holiday. The city is also encouraging residents and visitors to take part in free Victoria Day celebrations happening Monday evening in Confederation Park. The event will run from 7 until 10 p.m. and will feature live music, a drone show presented by Slush Puppy, and a fireworks display organized by the city's special events office. Ahead of the holiday, Kingston Fire and Rescue is reminding residents that anyone planning to have an open-air fire on private property must first obtain a free fire permit and follow all city regulations. Fire officials are also encouraging residents to attend the city's organized fireworks display instead of setting off fireworks at home, calling it a safer and more economical option. Residents who do choose to use fireworks are being reminded to carefully follow manufacturer instructions and all local safety guidelines. With that message, the City of Kingston wishes all residents a safe and happy Victoria Day long weekend. Before we wrap up this evening, I'm going to run through your weekend forecast, a roundup of just some of the events Kingston has to offer to finish off your week. Friday starts off on a creative note with the Fiercely OK All Ages Song Circle at 99 York Street, beginning at 10:30 a.m. Later in the day, trivia fans can test their knowledge online with the Girls in Med and Canadian Museum of Healthcare Trivia Night starting at 4. If you're looking to ease into the long weekend, the RCHA Club is hosting a happy hour TGIF event featuring Not Guilty beginning at 4 o'clock. Arts and crafts fans can head to the Tet Center Friday evening for the quick and cute scrapbook and card class at 6 p.m. And for anyone looking for a slower pace, Yoga Nidra, Deep Rest, and Renewal takes place Friday night at the Seniors Association Kingston Region at 7. Also at 7, trivia returns to Wild Wing Kingston. Once the sun goes down, karaoke takes over the city with Friday Night Karaoke at the Buckle and Daft Brewing both starting at 9. Then on Saturday, the Kingston Public Market returns to Springer Market Square from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Visit your favorite local vendors. Nature lovers can check out the tree, shrub, and wildflower sale at Lemoyne Point Conservation Area from 9 a.m. until noon. Meanwhile, the Great Lakes Museum is offering tours aboard the historic SS Keewatin throughout the day with a variety of tour packages available. The Kingston Pump House Museum is also hosting its bees exhibit from 10 until 5 Saturday. Saturday night brings line dancing to the Buckle starting at 7 p.m. And for Night Owls, Daft Brewing hosts an Afrobeats dance night beginning at 11 p.m. On Sunday, the Memorial Center Farmers Market runs from 9 a.m. until 2 p.m. at the Kingston Memorial Center. Film fans can catch Summer with Monica at the screening room at 4 p.m. And if you don't want the weekend to end too early, karaoke returns Sunday night at both the Merchant and the Toucan starting at 9 p.m. That's a wrap on your weekend forecast. Once again, that was just some of the events and concerts coming up this weekend in the region. Be sure to head to cfrc.ca for our full events and concerts listings. If you have an event or concert you'd like to add to our online or on-air calendar, reach out today via cfrc.ca or at CFRC Music on Instagram using the link tree in our bio. That is all things current in Kingston for this week. Thank you for listening to CFRC's local news programming, brought to you by the generous support of the Community Radio Fund of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, Queen's University Career Services, and for our podcast, Smith Engineering at Queen's University. To revisit episodes and listen on the go, head to our podcast network at podcast.cfrc.ca. Be sure to stay tuned for more CFRC programming coming up next.
Thank you for listening to this podcast produced at CFRC 101.9 FM at Queen's University, situated on the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and Haudenosaunee peoples, and brought to you by the generous support of the Faculty of Engineering and Applied Science.